Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Several weeks ago, we spoke to Jason Kander after 60 Minutes did a feature on him and an effort to rescue hundreds of people from Afghanistan and bring them into the United States or to places around the world that were safe for them as they were in danger there. And he is a former Missouri Secretary of State, state representative, Army Reserve intelligence officer, a veteran from Afghanistan, and has been following closely Afghan refugees that have made their way to the state of Missouri and to the United States. And after President Trump has canceled some flights of people who have been vetted to come to the United States, Jason Kander is with us on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Jason. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, I guess.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, just your reaction to finding out that President Trump had canceled these flights. And again, these are people who have been vetted over a long period of time.
Well, it's disappointing as someone who, you know, cares about these people, cares, served in Afghanistan. And I genuinely believe that, one, we made promises to these people that if they stood up and risked their lives for the cause of democracy and to fight alongside us, that if things went south, that we would take care of them. And that's a part of why they were able to do that. And so I think from a moral perspective, it is gross and wrong and un-American. And from a strategic perspective, it's just stupid because, you know, in the future, there's going to be other countries where we're going to ask people. I mean, we're doing it now. In Syria, we're doing it in other places, right, where we ask people to stand up alongside us when we have troops in a certain place and risk their lives. And for us to get that kind of fidelity from other people, we have to honor our promises. And this is an example of not doing that.
Jason, just to clarify, have the flights been officially canceled yet, or is there still hope that people can get out up until the 27th, or that the flights that were already scheduled will not be canceled?
Well, there was hope because the executive order is supposed to take effect on the 27th. But last night, the State Department, the now Trump State Department, went ahead and just canceled all the flights. Mm. So the people who thought they were getting out in the next week, despite this order, you know, that they were going to get out before the order, these people are fully vetted. They are people who fought alongside Americans and risked their lives and are in great danger as a result of it. Their flights were canceled, which means a lot of these people probably exposed themselves, came out of hiding first. So it's pretty gross and pretty upsetting.
1,660 Afghans have been cleared, and that's how many people it is affecting right now. And somebody who's listening to this might think, well, you know, these were people who helped us years ago. Why did it take so long for them to be cleared to finally get to the United States? Why weren't they already here?
Well, that's an important question, because the reason for that is that this has been going on. So when this first started in August of 2021, there was obviously a huge airlift at the airport. And then there was a period where hardly anybody was getting out. And that's when my group and I got in total about 2,100 people out, and then began a very slow but steady process of vetting people very thoroughly. And then, now you got to remember, the United States has no diplomatic relations with the Taliban. So this stuff all works through proxies. It works through the nation of Qatar. And once people get their refugee status or their special immigrant visa status, they're able to board flights, usually to Qatar on Qatar Airways. Sometimes they go across to Pakistan. A lot of these people are stranded in Pakistan as well. So they've gone to a bunch of different places. The majority are still in Afghanistan. And the people who are still waiting and the vetting is still ongoing, or was still ongoing, You know, we're talking 15,000 people probably in the country. And so this was happening. It was happening a few hundred a week over the last few years, because that's the speed at which these people could be vetted. But now there's a large amount of people who are vetted and who should be here. These are people who, if the process were to play out normally, they would come here as refugees, and in a year or two, they would get their green card, and then a few years after that, they would be Americans, which means these are really just future Americans who have done more for their country, their future country, than most of the people in this country. And Donald Trump has basically hung them out to dry now.
And Jason, according to the news reports, this group of people immediately impacted by these canceled flights include the families of about 200 U.S. service members. So is that people from Afghanistan who have come to the United States, joined the U.S. military, and then have had family who were still in Afghanistan? Is that how that works?
Yeah, largely so. And you can imagine somebody who, say, served with the U.S. military over there, you can imagine the level of threat that they're under. Now imagine that in most cases that's true of these people, and they have family who are currently in the U.S. military, many of whom may have served over there with the U.S. military. So just imagine the level of, well, I mean, you know, you can step back from that and say, boy, should there be American soldiers who are fully legal Americans, and are members of either American citizens who served in the military, many of them in Afghanistan, who their Afghan family members who are in danger shouldn't be here? Like, it makes no sense.
Jason Kander is with us here on KMOX, former Missouri Secretary of State, veteran from an Afghanistan veteran. And we know that there are a number of Afghan refugees who are here in the state of Missouri, some in St. Louis, in Kansas City as well. Do we know if any of these over 1,600 refugees would have been coming to Missouri, or does that get figured out later?
I don't know, because that's the kind of thing that it's on, like, where they are to be resettled is internal documents that I don't have access to. I mean, I would imagine maybe a few of them would have been. So I don't know the answer to that.
With this, and just because, Jason, it's difficult to comprehend that the United States would cancel these flights after it is so well known how we abandoned our Afghan allies in this situation. So many of Donald Trump's executive orders and his rhetoric was about the southern border and the amount of people crossing the southern border. Was he just making one broad brushstroke with his focus on the southern border, or did he also specifically single out those who were trying to come here from Afghanistan?
Well, it's worse. What he did is he suspended entirely the United States refugee program, which means if you are somebody who has been vetted and has been working to try and get your refugee status to come here, maybe you're currently in a third country, you can't return safely to your country, and the United States has been in the process of figuring out whether to let you in, that is stopped. That is not happening, no matter where you come from in the world. That is not happening now, which is fundamentally un-American. Like, you know, if you go back far enough in any of our family trees, other than for Native Americans or for people who were brought here on slave ships, everybody else came here at some point either to find a better future or because they couldn't be where they were from anymore. That's what this country is. And it's the idea that they would lump their, I think, misguided idea about immigration, where they just say, well, we're overrun. Okay, fine. Even if you accept that for a minute, you say, oh, we're overrun with migrants. Okay. If you were to stipulate to that for a minute, the amount of people who come here as refugees is negligible compared to that. But they are people who, in most cases, have done something really heroic to get here. These are good people who deserve to be here. And he's shut it down from all over the world, which, you know, look, if you just look at the numbers, like 89% of Americans support keeping our promises to Afghan allies, which includes 87% of Republicans and 92% of Democrats. So if more people know about this, I'm hopeful that maybe they will back off on this terrible decision, at least with regard to Afghan refugees.
So these flights were already done and ready to go. If they did decide to reinstate the flights. Does it? Is there a lot of machinery, a lot of moving parts that have to get going in order to make this happen again? Like, how much of a delay would it be if they decided to back off on this?
Well, the problem is that, I mean, look, all you have to do is a lot of those people are still in place who run these operations. Like, they haven't effectively been able to go through and clean out all the people they don't deem loyalists, right? So it would just be a matter of saying to the, you know, coordination for Afghan relocation efforts and those offices, just say, no, go back to what you were doing. So that wouldn't take hardly anything. But over a period of time, you know, if this is suspended for a long period of time, which it appears it's going to be, and then you allowed, and then the Trump administration goes and puts a bunch of new people into all of those offices, which is what they've stated they're going to do, then what you're going to have is, if we are successful in convincing them to restart the program, you're going to have the program being run by a bunch of people who weren't there when the program was working. And I don't care whether it's refugees or, you know, making the trains run on time. That's usually not a recipe for success.
Trump's own national security advisor, Mike Walls, heavily criticized Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And he also criticized him over the, quote, the thousands of allies we abandoned and made unkept promises of security for their safety to get the accountability they deserve, when talking about us abandoning Afghan allies. So that was Trump's national security advisor in 2022. Is he now in favor of further abandoning them?
I hope not. I truly hope that he's an advocate for humanity on the inside. And I want to be clear, like, a lot of, like, what happened with the Biden administration in the early going of you know, the Afghan withdrawal, I was extremely critical of. And in fact, it's pretty well known now that I worked around the Biden administration. I didn't work with them. I did things in defiance of the Biden administration. A lot of us did. But giving credit where it's due, after a period of time, the Biden administration did put in place a pathway for people to become vetted and to get on flights and to get here. They did finally do that. Did it go as fast as I wanted it to go? No, but they were doing it and they were continuing to do it. And so for Trump to run an entire campaign where he talks about the shamefulness of the way Biden handled Afghanistan, and then to come in and say, we're ending the entire program to bring Afghan allies here and we're completely deserting these people and leaving them to die. I mean, we're talking about people who were judges, prosecutors, you know, folks who stood up and were interpreters and fought alongside us. And by the way, it's a 20-year war. So we're also talking about their families who are under threat as a result. So if you stood up and you were an interpreter for the United States military, let's say you were an interpreter in 2012, well, there's a pretty good chance that you have like an 8-year-old son or daughter now who's also in danger. And we should be bringing that entire family here, because there is no reason for little girls and little boys to be under threat of being killed by the Taliban because their father or mother did the right thing when we asked them to.
Jason Kander, we certainly appreciate your time. We know you are busy, and I know this is a tough day for you because of how close you've been to this situation and how many Afghan families you have helped yourself in trying to get out of harm's way. So thank you so much for your time today. And I know we're going to follow up with you on this because it is a very big story.
Well, I appreciate it. Let me just leave you with this. People listening, what they can do is call your representatives, call your senators. Doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. There's no reason for this to be a partisan issue. And just let them know that you actually do care about people who stood up and served alongside Americans and kept people like me and other veterans that you know safe.
Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Jason Kander, former Missouri Secretary of State, an Afghan vet as well. So, it's rough, man. It's disappointing.
I can't imagine how devastated, not just devastated, being abandoned by the U.S. In Afghanistan, but then terrified.
Look,
that the Taliban knows who you are now.
I would say that if you were upset with the way Joe Biden handled the pullout of Afghanistan, you better be upset about this, too. There's no difference. That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.
In the city in 3 weeks, it's becoming a huge problem.
Yeah.
My trash has been picked up. No big deal.
In the CWE?
It has. I'm assuming that it can't still be that way in Soulard, right? For example, I've got friends who live there too, like you do. And last week we were talking about the fact that some of them hadn't gotten mail and some of them hadn't gotten their trash picked up. I haven't checked in lately to see if that's changed.
I know in one alley.
I can't imagine it's still not being taken.
I know in one alley it has not been picked up. So if you live in South City, Soulard, around Tower Grove Park, has your trash been picked up? We'd love to hear from you. Like I said, I do know as of last night in one alley it was not picked up. This is a really, really sad story, Ranj. But it's just the importance of wearing your seatbelt. I know we talk about that, but I'm amazed at the people who don't wear their seatbelts. So yesterday morning on Ladue Road in Ladue, there was a head-on crash. So according to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, a Mitsubishi Outlander was going eastbound on Ladue Road when the driver crossed the center lane into the center line into the westbound lane near Graybridge Road. So the driver of an oncoming Toyota 4Runner saw this guy cross into his lane and slammed on his brakes, came to a complete stop, and the Mitsubishi Outlander still ended up hitting the 4Runner head on. I don't know what happened. There's no report. Is it, did he have a medical incident? Was he not paying attention? We don't know, but it was a 48-year-old man who was driving the Outlander who crossed onto the wrong side of the road, hit the 4Runner head on, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. So he was not wearing his seatbelt. The driver of the 4Runner was and was uninjured. But something like 87% of deaths in car crashes are people not wearing seatbelts.
Yeah.
Teach your kids to buckle in. Like, it blows my mind. Make your kids buckle in. You buckle in. This is such a sad story. And I don't know why this guy crossed the center line. I don't know if he was distracted, if it was a medical incident. It's not reported. But 48 years old. On Ladue Road, it's not even like it's not a fast road. It's a two-lane road. And totally avoidable, but please buckle in.
Yeah, I thought it was automatic for most people.
I've been a little surprised recently.
I always
recently.
Just do it.
And check to make sure your kids are. I'm just shocked by people who don't buckle in.
That's Amy Markscores. I'm Chris Ranji. By the way, I have been told by some Soulard people that they have gotten their trash picked up.
Excellent.
But they have still not gotten mail.
Interesting.
It's been a long time.
That's a long
to
time
to not get
mail.
Your mail.
What if there's
still?
A bill?
Well, just don't pay your bills.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. You think I'm going to get in trouble?
Probably.
Do you think the FBI is going to come after me?
Probably the IRS.
Oh, well, no. Trump's fired all those people, so he's not going to hire any more IRS folks. So I guess I'm in the clear.
I don't know. The existing ones will find you. Anyway.
No, I don't think so. I'm fine. I'm not too worried about it. Hey, so the Hall of Fame class has been announced. The Baseball Hall of Fame. Ichiro is in. Carlos Beltran is not. Maybe he will be next year. But, dude, I'm so sick of the Baseball Hall of Fame and the writers. It's just a crap show. It's a good thing we got Bernie Miklas joining us next. We're going to ask him about that and some other stuff next on KMOX.
Ground ball, base hit in the right field. Heading for third is Terrence Long. The throw by Ichiro. Beautiful Peggy. Get him. Holy smoke. A laser beam strike from Ichiro.
When you go down like that.
Sabathia down the right field line. And it's gone. How about that? CC goes deep.
Well, the new Baseball Hall of Fame class has been announced, and they will be inducted officially into Cooperstown in July. It will be Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner joining Dick Allen and Dave Parker. Those two were elected by the Classic Era Committee. The Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We welcome in Bernie Miklas, who is with us usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we had to change it up a little bit, so he's with us today and tomorrow. Bernie, how you doing?
Doing well, and thanks. I'm getting a lot of bounce back. That could be my problem, though. I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
You know, it could be us too. Who knows? Technology's hard.
Yeah, I don't. I'll try to work through it. It's weird. What I was going to say is, thanks for accommodating my schedule. But it was along with Tom Ackerman, members of the Red Ribbon Hall of Fame Selection Committee, Cardinals Hall of Fame, and so I was in the middle of that.
So let's get to that in just a moment. But again, Ichiro is in. On his first try, CC Sabathia is in. Billy Wagner finally gets in. How do you feel about this class?
Oh, Suzuki's one of the great players ever, and one of the most unique and enduring and unusual players. In that, you know, he came to the big leagues at age 27 and ended up with over 3,000 hits. I mean, that's just crazy. 10 Gold Gloves. I mean, awards all over the place. I mean, really one of the most accomplished hitters of our time. So he was a lock. There was one idiot who didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that's all about. But those idiots are there every year, you know. I thought CC Sabathia was absolutely deserving. If I may fuss about one thing, it really doesn't matter. But I thought the overwhelming percentage of votes that was was way over 86%. I think that was a bit much. I mean, he got a higher percentage of the votes, for example, than Bob Gibson did when he was elected to the Hall of Fame. But you got to always remember something. CC Sabathia pitched for a long time and for the Yankees, and here we go again. But he is absolutely deserving. And I was on the Billy Wagner bandwagon for that too. I mean, he was one of those guys, if you really go underneath the numbers or you focus on the most important numbers, you can make a case that he's the best left-handed reliever in modern history. So I think he did great. I think I'm glad he got in. I think Carlos Beltran and Andrew Jones will be next in line. I mean, they came close enough this year to they make a leap next season, they'll get into the Hall of Fame. And I think down the road, I think where Chase Utley finished in the voting yesterday, I think it trends well for him over several years to eventually make it to Cooperstown.
So you mentioned something that is my number one. It is the thing that does not affect me in any way that infuriates me, that it actually gets my blood boiling when you've got these writers who like to make some sort of statement or say, well, a player is not deserving of a unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame because so-and-so didn't get one. This sanctimonious crap from some of these baseball writers. The one person out of 344 people did not vote for Ichiro. We don't know who it is. And usually they say, I turned in a blank ballot this year for some dumb reason. Back in 2016, Bernie, there were members of the Writers Association who voted in favor of forcing every writer to reveal their ballot so we know who they are and we know what they did. But that was shot down by the Baseball Writers Association. Should everybody know who all of these people vote for?
100%. When I was voting for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I think, by the way, I'll read that maybe next year because I took a break from the Baseball Writers Association. That's neither here nor there. But I was always happy to share my vote, my whole ballot. I don't particularly like these 10,000-word essays from like every other – from hundreds of writers. They feel like they have to explain every single vote. You know, that has a look at me type thing that's a turnoff. But to your point, if especially these clowns who send in blank ballots,
oh,
which hurts all the players,
yeah.
not just because it pulls down the overall collective percentage of individual players. Those people are hopeless show-offs who are just pining and almost begging for attention. And the other set of clowns are these people who, you know, in the year 2024, you know, even going back 7-8 years where we should know better by now, they'll withhold their vote for a guy on the first ballot because, well, Ty Cobb didn't get every vote. He didn't get voted in the first time. It's because the old timey sports writers had these very strange quirks about making a guy wait a year. Why is it that the younger generation of idiots, why do they feel obligated to do the same thing? If something is stupid and makes no sense, oh, you're going to repeat it? You're going to follow that lead? I mean, the whole baseball Hall of Fame voting process is just, I'm with you, Ron. It has led to a tremendous amount of aggravation for me over the years.
Bernie, do you think that, you know, sometimes things have unintended consequences because human nature is weird, but that idea of you have to make your ballots public so that way we can all see who the idiot is, is there a potential that that would cause more idiots who want to be the guy who gets to showboat why he didn't vote for someone and write this essay knowing everyone's going to go see why he didn't vote a certain way?
It's a great question. I don't think so. We don't know for sure, but I think it could have the opposite effect. I think it could be more along the lines of, if people found out who the one bozo was who didn't vote for Ichiro this year, I mean, he's going to get, you know, he or she is going to get 5,000, you know, nasty emails, and it's going to get banged around on Twitter or X or whatever. And it's going to get a lot of unwanted attention that I don't think other people would want to put up with and expose themselves to that. Here's an idea. Just vote for the best players, and then you don't have to worry about posturing the way some of these people do. Just play it straight.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty obvious who most Hall of Famers are. There is a difference of opinion on certain players. We're not always going to agree. But when there is obvious Hall of Famers, their credentials are beyond question, just vote for them. I mean, I don't understand the mentality.
Yeah.
And no, people like that should be exposed because maybe it'll prevent other people from following the clown car and trying to get a ride on that.
They should make me in charge of the "you don't deserve it anymore" committee.
Right.
Like, I'll just, yeah, you, I'm sorry, your vote's stupid. You don't get a ballot anymore. And it's unilateral. Nobody can debate me. All right, so Mariano Rivera is the only player ever to be unanimously selected, so Ichiro did not get to that point. And my guess is it's probably somebody who just hates the idea of a unanimous selection. So
sure.
You mentioned Carlos Beltran, who did not get in. He got over 70% of the vote. You have to get 75. Does he, and you do think ultimately he will make it?
I think he'll make it next year. I mean, I think him and Andrew Jones can all but book it to Cooperstown. You know, and one thing that surprised me a little bit, I pass no judgment on this, but there was a general feeling among the baseball writers that Beltran would have a really, really hard time because he was exposed in the Houston Astros bang the garbage can cheating scandal. But actually, no, it really hasn't made a difference. I think people have looked past that. He's had a great career. You know, he was involved in something that he shouldn't have been involved in. But I'm also a cynic from the standpoint, or I'm a realist. That's a better word to put it. Cheating has always gone on in baseball as far as stealing signs. That was nothing new. The Astros pushed it way too far, but it shouldn't be something to disqualify Beltran from being honored in the Hall of Fame. Because if you do that, I can't even imagine the number of Hall of Famers that are in there now through the decades participated in some kind of cheating scheme, because it's been part of baseball for a long, long time. I'm talking about stealing signs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bernie, I want to ask you a question that was posed by Derek Gould, and that is, will Albert Pujols be the first position player unanimously elected to the Hall of Fame?
I would say no, because I don't trust the electorate. there's always going to be people playing games and trying to do gymnastics and going to contortions to justify not voting for a player. And I don't know what the basis would be. I hope that he's a unanimous selection. You know why? Let me give you this, because it's one of my favorite stats, and I don't think it gets enough national attention. There is one player in the history of Major League Baseball, all time, one player who has this combination: more than 3,000 hits, more than 700 home runs, more than 2,000 RBIs, and multiple MVP awards. Albert Pujols is the only player in the history of Major League Baseball to do that. And you mean to tell me some palooka, some goofball is not going to vote for him when he's in a group of one? It's not a group. One guy can claim that on his resume. It's Albert Pujols, three MVP awards. I mean, on and on and on. But there'll be some joker that's going to have to like try to show off or whatever. Well, I didn't feel obligated to look at what happened when he went to the Angels. He wasn't that good after that, you know, that kind of thing. It's just ridiculous.
Yep. Let me start that committee right now. It's a committee of one, and I get to decide if you get to keep your vote or not. Are you in?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, but now, well, hold on now. Okay. I gotta trust you 100%.
Okay.
I don't want Commissioner Ranji banning people for voting because he disagrees with their choices.
Well, no, if you blank ballot, you're out.
Out. I agree.
Out. Blank ballot, out. Leaving off somebody because you don't like unanimous winners, out. Mm-hmm. Never again. In fact, you're not even allowed. Your press credentials revoked forever, too. You can't even go to games anymore. You're banned from stadiums. In fact, I might even remove your cable subscription so you can't even watch games anymore.
Wow.
No more baseball for you. Out.
Yeah. You're like the ultimate tribunal for baseball writers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, any thoughts on the it's a couple of days removed, but any thoughts on the national championship game?
It went as I expected. You know, I picked Ohio State to win. I did a video on it. I wrote about it, and I explained the reasons why. And the reasons why I went into pretty much happened. The only thing is, I thought that Notre Dame would keep it close. I think they would. I thought they were going to be able to drag it into the fourth quarter, and Ohio State would, you know, score late and kind of open up a 10-point margin or whatever. And so if I were a gambler on that game, I would have bet Notre Dame to cover, and that didn't happen. But they made a comeback, and they tried to make it close, and I don't think they have anything to be ashamed of. I mean, Ohio State, after that Michigan loss, just completely transformed themselves as a team. On offense, their defense, they used different schemes. They became way more aggressive. And that loss to Michigan kind of pulled them together as a team. And they were a whole new team once they got to the playoff. But the sad thing is, there are still people that are Buckeye fans. I'm sure. I'm certain. It might be like these Hall of Fame voters with their blank ballots. There's some people that would say, well, if we ask them, well, do you prefer you have to pick one or the other, a win over Michigan each year or a national championship? There would be a minority, at least a minority, but some Ohio State fans who would say, oh, beat Michigan. I want that instead. They're the equivalent of I'm not going to vote for, vote for Ichiro, for the Hall of Fame.
All right, Bernie, we're going to do it again tomorrow. But before we say goodbye, tell us about our friends at Saliga.
I would love to do that. Thank you. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been helping the Miklas family for 16 years. We've come to count on this proud, independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer to always, always do the right thing and do the great work and to be reliable and trustworthy and classy in your home. Saliga Heating and Cooling, in our experience, has really gone out of their way to save us money, you know, where they could have just said, yeah, you need this or you need that. In other words, trying to sell us something more expensive, and we don't know whether we really need it or not, because that's not our level of expertise. But no, they'll look for solutions that actually solve the problem but save you money. Another reason why their integrity, to me, 100% grade on that. And they also have that American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning equipment. But the Saliga family's been doing this since 1927. I want to just say before I go, you know, the Priority Club is a maintenance program, and I'm a member. We're a member of that here at the Miklos Home. We have been for years. It's really good because being on a maintenance plan, preventative maintenance can be really good for you because it gives you peace of mind in terms of safety. It can be an economical advantage because if you have regular maintenance, it extends equipment life. You can the service is outstanding. You can trust Saliga. You also get some other perks like priority scheduling. If you want more details on that, and really you should consider it because it's very helpful. Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Well, because I care about the people and also because I want the people to feel sorry for me, I was able to record some of the ceiling noises that I talked about yesterday on our little home improvement show. You remember the popping ceiling because of the temperature changes?
Yeah, so
the wood. I have wood beams in my little apartment. Yeah. And while it looks very nice, it pops so much
like
with
the
temperature
frost quakes.
Changes. Like the frost quakes, because I have a thin, in my head, it's a paper thin tin roof. That's what I sleep under. And then beneath the tin.
Is your tin roof rusted?
Yes, it is. Which means I do live in the love shack. But the wood beams, they pop every time it gets really hot or really cold and there's a temperature change. So I hit record on my phone. And I want you to hear, I feel like my phone didn't pick up on just how loud the pops are. They sound like gunshots. It's like taking a picture of the moon. The moon looks amazing. You take a picture with your phone and it's a dot.
It looks stupid.
Yeah, I feel like this sounds stupid compared to how it sounds in real life, but let's try it.
I think people are throwing rocks at your house.
It's so loud, though.
I think people are throwing stones.
I hit record. I set my phone on the bed. I actually fell asleep in the middle of all that because I had like 39 minutes recorded on my phone. But listen to that first one again. That was a really big thump. And I know that it's not doing it justice. But I'm telling you, when you're sleeping, it is quite unnerving.
Well, I'm worried for your safety. I'm very sorry. The people are throwing rocks at your house. I really wish that it was just rocks at your window. I don't. I don't want that to happen.
Last night I did get up and look through the peephole.
Oh, don't do that.
I did because I didn't know.
Don't ever look at the peephole.
I looked through the peephole.
Never look through your peephole.
Have you ever been afraid that you're going to look through the peephole and then there's going to be a giant face staring right back at you?
I hope there's a giant face staring back at me.
Why?
Well, otherwise, why am I looking through the peephole?
Because you're afraid that someone's trying to break in. That's why I have my stick, the security bar under the door handle, like my papa had.
Oh, okay. Like the club, but for your door?
Yes, it's exactly like the club, but it's for a door.
For your crappy car? Not your crappy car.
Yeah, hey.
Like that one crappy car that used to park outside my place.
Yeah.
Rusted. I think it had two tires, and there was a club on it. Hey, we want to catch you up on a lot of things happening in the St. Louis area. We are going to do that when we come back. Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji, leave us a message on the Odyssey app where you should be listening to this show live.